Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Today we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as we continue in our series entitled, We Are. What we're kind of doing is we're just kind of checking the map, you know what I mean? Because we're on a journey. That journey is to heaven. And so we just want to make sure that we're on track, you know what I mean? That we're where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so our foundation is Jesus Christ. I mean, we are because of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Everything, even life itself, flows out of Christ. And so without him, we are nothing. But with him, we have life and we have purpose. And I'm so glad that we have in Christ a blessed hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm glad that he is for me. How about you? We took a few weeks to look at this thought of we are family. So today what I want to do is I want to step into this next part, if you will, of our series. And I want to talk about for the next few weeks, we are generous. So the title of our message today is We Are Generous. As I said before, I'm extremely grateful that our church family has a much higher giving percentage than the national church average. Believe me, I am very, very grateful for that. But having said that, I believe that most, if not all of us, if I was to ask the question, how many would like to be able to give more, to bless more? How many would like to be more generous than you are right now? How many would say, yeah, that's me? Sure, I believe that all of us would. We would want to bless our family more, bless our church more, our community, and even at our jobs. I believe that we want to be, our heart's cry is to be more of a blessing in our lives and to those people that we meet on a daily basis. And guess what? God wants that for you too. Did you know that God wants to bless you as well? He wants you to have a greater blessing in your life. He wants to flow through you more than he is today. God has more for you, and he wants to do that in your life to increase you. Can you say amen? And I know that we've probably heard this scripture at least 1,000 times, but I don't think one more will hurt. Jeremiah 29:11. Here's what the Lord says. I know how I think about you. Amen. You may have a lot of people tell you what I think, but I know what I think about you. And here's what I think about you. I think thoughts of peace. What does that peace mean? Peace means safety and wellness and health and prosperity. He says, I think those types of thoughts about you, not of evil, but I think thoughts that to give you a future and a hope. You see, God wants to increase you even more than you want to be increased. He wants to bless you so that you can be even more generous than you can imagine in the earth today. And it's all for the kingdom of God. I heard it again the other day. Someone had mentioned it's all, they have a soul. And so it's all for souls. And so that helps us to stay focused on why we do some of the things that we do. Or how about this? Why we put up with some of the things we put up with. Yeah. Is because there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And everybody that we come in contact with will end up eternally in one or the other. And so understanding that maybe helps us to put up with some of the things that we have to put up with. And so God wants to increase us in our effectiveness in the earth for the kingdom of God. And he has a plan for that to happen. And so, Lord willing, over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. I want our church family to align with his will. And that is to be a generous people. But before we kind of get into maybe some of the practical applications, I believe that first we have to deal with our mindset concerning generosity. I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to living a life of generosity is wrong thinking. Looking at things from a wrong perspective. Wrong thinking will stop you every time. And so what I want to use today for our big thought, if you will, is get your head in the game. You ever heard anybody say that? You need to get your head in the game. What are they talking about? You need to stop thinking about everything else and you need to focus on some specific things. Focus on what's happening in the moment and why you're here in that moment. Get your head in the game. And so that's what I want to look at this morning is let's get our head in the game. In other words, let's get a right perspective concerning generosity. And that right perspective is not going to be what society thinks. I'm going to tell you where the right perspective is going to come, and that's from God and His Word. And so when it comes to living a life of generosity, what we have to do is we have to go to God's Word. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, are you there yet? Paul is writing to the church, and here's what he's encouraging them, because they are in the process of collecting supplies to be able to, that when he gets there, he could take them to the church, to the Christians that are in Jerusalem who are in need. Now, here's the reality of it, because he says it in chapter 8. If you'll go back, I would encourage you to kind of read a few chapters before and a few chapters after, and it'll help you to understand a little bit better as to the context of what we're talking about. Because the reason that Paul was wanting them to give this offering, it was so that the church or the people in the church would not have to suffer lack. We know that's God's will. Amen. I understand there's times in life where God will test us and he'll cause us to go through some things. Why does he do that? He wants to do that so that we'll draw closer to him, that our faith will increase, so that he can trust us with more. So yeah, there are some times when we'll be tested in certain areas of our lives, but ultimately his will is that we have no lack in the family of God. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because God wants not only us to be blessed, but he wants us to be a blessing. Yes. And so the church, there was some in the church in Jerusalem who were struggling. They had lack for whatever reason it was. I have no idea. I don't think the Bible mentions it. And so, but that's not important. The important thing is that he wants this offering so that there's no lack, so that their provisions can be met. And then there'll be something left over so that they can minister to those in their community who need Jesus. So in the verse 8, let's start there. God is able to bless you. I want you to understand, yes, this is written a long time ago to a church in Corinth, but it is just as relevant to you today as it was to them. Amen. Amen. That's why God put it in the book and gave it to you. And so God is able to bless you. So I don't want you to think of this out in ethereal land, out there somewhere where, oh, this is just a story about other people that really doesn't have anything to do with me. No, this is about you. God is able to bless you abundantly. And then he tells us why. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now that sounds like a good deal to me. How about you? Verse 10, God gives seed to the farmers and provides everyone with food. He will increase what you have so that you can give even more to those in need. You will be blessed in every way so that you can always be generous. So here the goal is, verse 11, so that we can always be generous. That's what God's will is. We understand that. There again, I'm not talking about times of testing and where God is growing us up and maturing us to certain things. I'm talking about overall, God wants us to be generous. That's his will. What we see here in our text is right thinking concerning generosity and how to overcome some of those battles that we have in our minds when it comes to giving. That's what we want to deal with today. First, before we get to the practical, we want to deal with some of the mindset, some of the things that we battle in our mind when it comes to giving. Have you ever said, I want to give, but I can't afford it? Maybe you've not said it out loud, but have you ever thought it? Man, I'd love to give today, but I just can't afford it. Now, I realize that that's a very real reality in life because it's kind of hard to give what you don't have. I mean, we get that. But I also know at the very same time that there's a greater truth than my current reality. That's God's word. Why are we consulting God's word versus what we think in our current situation? Because God's word is forever yes and amen. Amen. God's word can alter my current reality to the place to where I can be in alignment with what he says I can have, what he says I can be, what he says I can do. Amen. Amen. And so there's a greater truth in our current reality, which is God's word. So as children of God, while we live in a real world with real balances on our checking accounts, and it only goes so far, you can have 1,000 checks that you can write out, but it's only going to go as far as the money to back it up, right? How many get that? We only have so much within our coffers, if you will. And that will only go so far. I understand that we live in that type of a reality, but at the very same time, I also know that we serve a real big God. And he specializes in the miraculous. And I tell you right now, and I know that my God can make a way where there doesn't seem to be one. Can you say amen? So when it comes to living a life of generosity, though I may be limited, I'm going to put my faith in God because God is my source. First of all, you got to remember this. God is my source. Now look, here I've got a glass of water and I've got a gallon jug. Now how many understand that this glass will hold a certain amount? It has a certain amount of capacity. And how many understand that this jug has a certain capacity? And so the capacity of this jug is more than the glass. And so I can look at how easy that is. I can take this jug and I can fill this glass right to the very top. And guess what? I still got more. And so let's imagine that this is our need. Our need is to be filled to the top. Piece of cake. Okay, now what about everybody else? What about all the other glasses around and all the other things? You know, is there enough for them? Well, you know, the Lord has the ability to pour over and above my capacity. I can keep going and I can keep going and I can keep going, and it'll fill not only that glass, but it'll fill round about it. But what happens when I get to the certain point where the capacity of the jug has been reached? Now, the reality of it is that there's no more that this jug can give. I've found that a lot of Christians live their lives in such a way that they think that they're the glass and that God is the jug. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what happens is that we understand that God is bigger than us. I mean, we get that. But we live in such a way that we have this mindset that there's only so much to go around. We find ourselves, there again, what are we dealing with? We're talking about some of the mindsets that we have when it comes to living a life of generosity. And so we know that we only have a certain amount of capacity, but sometimes in our thinking, because we only have a certain amount of capacity, we kind of put God in that same category, that he only has a certain amount of capacity. And when it's gone, that's it. No more. And that's not a good place to be, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a strong motivator. It's a strong motivator. You know, yeah, God can help, but only so much, and then that's it. So what does that do to us mentally? Well, it creates a mindset of giving according to our own capacity. Because there again, after all, it's only so much, and then it's out, and then that's it. We have this mindset that, well, because I'm limited, then I think God is as well. So when God prompts us to give, because we have this mindset that I can only give according to my capacity and I only have so much, then I need to be careful in how much I give. And so when the Lord prompts us to give, our knee-jerk reaction is, well, I only got so much. There again, now, don't take me wrong, because I understand that we should be good stewards of our resources and we should be frugal. I get that. That's scriptural. And I'm not talking about that. But if we're going to get our head in the game, in this living a life of generosity, that what we need to do is that when God prompts us to give and our mind starts to tell us that we can't afford it, in that very moment, we need to stop and ask ourselves this question: am I being frugal or am I limiting God? Am I being frugal? Am I being a good steward? Or is the reality is that I'm nervous that I don't have enough and that I'm not going to have enough. And so I limit God and His ability to continue to fill my cup. And so what we have to do is we can't be scared in that moment to allow the Holy Spirit to really examine us so that we come up with the right perspective, the truth, if you will. Because here's the reality of it, is that if we're limiting God, then we're never going to reach our full potential when it comes to generosity. So what we have to remember is that while we may be limited, God is not. Imagine, if you will, is if I had a hose here, and on the other end of the hose was hooked to a pump that was right down in the, literally in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And the other end of that hose is directly over you, over your cup. Now, tell me something. When that pump was turned on, how many times do you think that glass could be filled from the Atlantic Ocean? It could be filled millions and millions and millions of times. And guess what? It would still not run out. Now, with that picture in your mind, I want you to listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealed to Isaiah that God literally holds not just the Atlantic Ocean, but all the water of the entire earth in the hollow of His hands. He showed him that God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Lift up your eyes, He said, and look to the heaven. Who do you think created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each one of them by name because of His great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. What is He telling us? He's telling us that God's power and God's capacity cannot be measured. Mine can, very easily. But God's cannot. That's why the Holy Spirit told Paul to write and to tell us, God is able to bless you abundantly. Though it's impossible for us to comprehend, there is no lack in God. And I'm so glad for that. Because if there was a shortfall, then my sins would not be as far as the east is from the west. That they would not be in a sea of forgetfulness, never more to condemn me. I mean, if the Lord can afford to pave heaven's streets with gold, surely He can provide for you and for me. Hallelujah. So much so that we'll have our needs met and there will be overflow to be able to bless others. So as children of God, here's what we need to do. To get our head in the game, we need to realize that because God is our source, that we need to put our trust in His capacity, not ours. So I don't have to be wealthy. I just have to be willing. Secondly, look at the second part of verse 8. He says, in all things and at all times, we'll have all that we need. So if I'm going to get my head in the game, what I need to remember is that God not only is my source, but He's my support. Now, everybody needs a good support system. Have you ever sat in a chair that gave way? Or it kind of creaked? And you begin to wonder, is this thing going to be able to support me? What happens? You begin to question in your mind, okay, am I safe? You know, a good support system will give you security. A good support system will give you strength. A good support system will encourage you. Amen. A good support system will hold you accountable and so on. And each one of us need all these things to thrive in the earth. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because by myself, more times than not, I would never dare to step out and to do certain things that I would do in my support system. How many know what I'm talking about? Why is that? Because of the fear of the unknown. Is that chair going to hold me? We're better together, you and I, because we can be a good support system for each other. Because I know that you'll have my back, so I'll step out. And I'll do things that I would never do, because regardless of what happens, I know you got my back. That's why it's very important that you have a good support system. Because peer pressure, oh man, it can make you do some bad things. It's worth saying again, how many got friends that whenever you're around them, you do stupid things? What does the Bible say? Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. But if you walk with a companion of fools, you'll suffer. Yeah. So yes, we're better together and we get that. But when it comes to giving, we got these thoughts. We've got these things that are just kind of rattling around. One of those things is just the fear of the unknown. Yeah, I don't know about the chair, but I'm only going to fall so far. But what about my job? What if I lose my job? Then what? You know, what if I lose my health? Man, then what? You know, what if I lose my house? I mean, what's going to happen? You know, it's that fear of the unknown. I just have no idea what's going to happen. You know, that's why insurance is a $1 trillion a year industry. There again, I'm not knocking insurance. I got it. Just in case. Right? I mean, yeah, that's wisdom. I get that. I get that and I understand that. But here's the deal. When we're talking about living a life of generosity, if we're not careful, a fear of the unknown can be the very factor that causes us to close our hand when God is asking us to give. So knowing that God in His mercy gave us this promise, He said, I can bless you abundantly so that, there again, in all things, at all times, you will have all you need. What God is telling us is that there's a bigger support system. Amen. And I'm glad for you, but I'm also grateful for Him. Amen. Knowing that He's got my back. I'm so glad that God is telling you today that, yes, I will be your support system so that no matter what happens around you, I am with you. I am for you, and I have your back. So when you don't know your tomorrows, God tells you, I do, and I won't leave you, and I won't forsake you. When you don't know about your health, and what's happening tomorrow, God says, by my stripes, you are healed. When you don't know about your job, God tells you, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in Christ Jesus. You know, when you don't know if you have strength for tomorrow, God tells you, when you're weak, I am strong. So you can rest in me. Because unlike the chair, I don't creak. I don't wear out. Check this out. Listen to this. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah 40:28. Have you not heard or have you not understood that the Lord is the everlasting God? He is the creator of all the earth, and He never grows weak nor weary. In other words, He's on the job 24/7. He's not taking a nap, but He's always watching over us. There's a song we used to sing. He's always watching over us, always victorious. He's a great, big, wonderful God. That's what Isaiah is telling us. He's always protecting us. And he says, no one can measure the depths of His understanding. So in God's support system, He supports us with full knowledge of all of our tomorrows. He's not surprised by anything. And look at what that support system does. Verse 29, He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall with exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. So when God prompts us to give, we can do so with full assurance. Why? Because in all things, at all times, we'll have what we need and plenty left over to share with others. Because God is our support system. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We just have to trust God today. Finally today, number three, God is my increase. Look at verse 10. God will increase what you have. I want you to think about that for just a minute. God will increase what you have. There again, we have to understand the context. Why? So that you can give even more to those in need. Isn't that the goal? To live a life of generosity, right? To be more generous. Well, God will increase what you have so that you can give more to those in need. Question, have you ever looked at a need and then looked at what you have and thought, it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I only have this much and the need is so much greater. I wonder if the boy with the sack lunch wondered that when he heard the disciples tell Jesus, all we have is five loaves and two fish. And yet thousands were fed that day as he looked on in amazement. I wonder if the widow thought in her heart as she walked towards the offering basket in front of all those people and placed two small coins in that basket. I wonder if she thought, Lord, this isn't very much at all. Yet Jesus said this of her, no one has given more than this lady today. Now I know what the widow of Zarephath thought because she told us. She knew she didn't have enough. She said to Elijah, surely as the Lord lives, I don't have any bread and I've only got a handful of flour. And I've only got a little bit of oil in a jug. And so I'm gathering just these last few sticks that I can find to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we can eat it and then we'll die. She knew she didn't have enough. And yet what happened? As she gave it unto the Lord, all that she had, the Bible says that her jar of flour was never used up and her jug of oil did not run dry. Many times when we're living a life of generosity, we'll look at the need and we'll look at what's in our hands and we'll think it's certainly not enough. It's too small. It's too insignificant. It's not going to make a difference. It's in those times when you think that it's not enough that I would encourage you to remember this simple truth. As long as it's in your hands, whatever you have will never reach its full potential. Let me just say that one more time, and I want you to ponder this. When it's in your hands, it will never be able to reach its full potential. But when it's in God's hands, it has no choice. You know, sometimes we walk up and we look at the need and we think, surely there is absolutely no way that what I have can meet that need. It won't if it stays in your hand. So in those moments, when you're thinking those things, would you do me a favor? Would you not stop at that thought, but move past those thoughts? Because you know what? You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to understand it all. All you got to do is give it to God. You see, He's the multiplier. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. What is our part? Lay hands on the sick. He does the hard part. He does the heavy lifting. You're thinking, what about my family? The Lord tells you to pray and to stand in faith, and He'll do the heavy lifting. When it comes to giving, though you may think that it's not going to meet the need, give God a chance to show off. Because the hollow of your hand isn't anywhere as near big as the hollow of His hand. He's the multiplier, and He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly far above what we can ask. And imagine, how big can you imagine? God's bigger. Jesus said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. One translation says it like this, more blessings come from giving than receiving. And another one says it like this, he who gives is more blessed than he who receives. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be one that lives in the blessing of giving. I want to be one who lives a life of generosity I want to be the one that can give more and that can bless more and that can shine brighter for Jesus than I ever have before. And if you do, here's what I would encourage you to do, that when the Lord prompts you to give and your mind starts telling you, yes, but I can't afford to give, could you stop for a minute and let faith arise and declare that I'm going to give because God is my source and He is more than enough. Oh yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not sure about my future. In that moment, would you just allow faith to arise and declare, I'm going to go ahead and give because I know that God is my support and He won't let me down. Oh yeah, but Pastor, you just don't understand. What I have is just not going to make a difference in that moment. Would you allow faith to rise? And would you go ahead and give as you declare, God is my increase, and He'll take what I have. He'll break it. He'll bless it, and it will meet the need. Open your hand by faith. Listen, church, we got just a few more days left before the Lord comes back. And I have such an urgency in my heart for this house. And I know that God has great things for us. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put our trust in Him and in His capacity and in His ability. And we're just going to have to open our hand and give by faith. Trust God.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.